Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast. Thanks very much for downloading us, whether it was iHeart or Radio MD. We appreciate it. Do tell your friends about us. This is the B segment, the guest segment. We have a sensational guest for you today, Jesse Bloom, author of Creating Sanctuary, Sacred Garden Spaces, Plant-Based Medicine, and Daily Practices to Achieve Happiness and Well-Being. Wow, what a long and incredibly encompassing title. But Jesse is also a wonderful person based on her history. She's done a ton of things in her young, relatively young life. So one of which is you can find out a lot about them. Go to her website, Jesse, J-E-S-S-I, Bloom, BLOOM.com, and you'll find out more about it. So Jesse, tell me what, if you will, permaculture is about, and what you mean by that, and how you arrive to creating sanctuary.
Okay. Well, thanks for having me. Permaculture is a pretty big topic, but what it boils down to is it's a design system. So much like engineering or architecture, it's a toolkit of how we get from A to B and design solutions for problems. We take ethics, basically, and we use those as a filter for common problems or living sustainably, really, is what it's about. And it's, I can boil it down into a nutshell, it's creating habitat for humans is what permaculture is about. And
so the book is Practical Permaculture that you started with that became a bestseller. And that isn't what we're talking about today, but the subject is part of what we're talking about today. Practical Permaculture is the name of Jesse Bloom's book that was and is a bestseller. So Jesse, and go ahead, keep going on boiling it down. I wanted people to know the name of the book.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So Practical Permaculture has been out a few years now in several languages, used as a textbook around the world for students interested in learning this design system. Really, what led me to the path of creating sanctuary is I realized a lot of people were creating spaces that, you know, homesteads, community gardens, really working with the earth in an honorable and sustainable way. But there's a lot of human health aspects that weren't really being addressed from what I could see. And I experienced something in my own life where I ran into burnout and needed to have sanctuary. And so the book Creating Sanctuary is really, it's like a manual for creating space for yourself and also how to take care of yourself and have a connection to that space and the plants in it. But it's really a self-care manual.
So it's a self-care manual, and the part of this is creating sanctuary, which probably means dealing a bit with stress and as well as burnout. But it's using, but part of it is clearly using, if you will, as simple as daily rituals like a beautiful foot soak. What else? Mm-hmm. Tell us more about what you mean. What caused you to call it creating sanctuary, and what you really mean by it?
Okay. Well, there's a lot of history to this book in my personal story. And for me, I was diagnosed with PTSD many years ago and found that I was dealing with symptoms of that mental illness that were sometimes debilitating and challenging. But I saw other people suffering as well. And really, as humans, we go through emotional trauma. You know, just watching the news these days can be very difficult in this world. And seeing all of the things happening around us. And I wanted to really honor that side of ourselves and look at how our spaces and the plants we grow and the things that we do can help us stay healthy physically and mentally. And so creating sanctuary is not just about physical well-being. It's about emotional well-being. It's about spiritual well-being and really how to center ourselves and find daily rituals and practices that work well for us, because we all come from different backgrounds and different belief systems, different practices that we're already utilizing in our lives. And this book is meant to give ideas and inspiration to people who may not have thought of something like a foot soak, for example. Working out in the garden with flip-flops in the summer, my feet get pretty dirty, but using it as a way to heal my body and treat my feet with some plant medicine is one of the rituals that I do part of the year. But there's a bunch of different ideas in the book, from making teas to different meditations. There's exercises throughout the whole book, and a process, the design process, and how to create sanctuary, what that word means to you, and what are the elements that you might want to put into that space for yourself.
And so the when you, how do you mold this, or have you used this to mold creating sanctuary for not only the individual, but you did a lot of corporate work, as I understand it, helping corporations design their own facilities, if you will. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I've done work. I've been doing ecological landscape design for almost 20 years now. And a part of that work not only includes residential gardens, we also work for nonprofits, companies, farms. So there's a lot of different scales at where we can create spaces for ourselves or community. And the process is similar in each case. And in practical permaculture, it breaks it down to like the nitty gritty, but to intentionally plan on sanctuary is a little bit different in making sure that everybody's on the same page with the goals of what sanctuary means. What do people need in order to feel safe or to feel rejuvenated, to have that collective space that can be utilized in a way that's really uplifting and healing for us, despite the challenges that we might have to face day to day. And in a corporation, for example, where everybody is staring at computer screens all day, having time with a garden outside, whether it's a rooftop or a pea patch or something nearby, where you can just go outside and be with plants, can be very, very helpful to help someone get through the day. And also houseplants or indoor gardening. So one of the things that I really like to encourage is people have plants around them indoors or outdoors, because not everybody has the luxury of having a garden. But in an apartment or in a workspace indoors, even a cubicle, you can bring in plants that provide many benefits for us, not only visually, but you know, they help clean the air. Some of them have ready-to-use medicine. So there's a lot of ways to incorporate sanctuary into any space, really.
And when you look at this, how necessary, in other words, when you look at creating sanctuary, can you do this really in a city? And you talk about, obviously, the pictures in your book look like they're outdoors, and with a lot of space. Can you do this in really small spaces like in Seattle or San Francisco?
Definitely. And really the process that the book walks you through is looking at what the space is and how to plan for the either the plants to fit specifically into that space or the element. So defining what sanctuary is for you and coming up with the goals or the intentions, really. What do you want the space to do for you? For some people, it might be a place of quiet meditation. For someone else, it might be to honor ancestors. For someone else, it might be gathering for family. So to really dial in that intention first and then work from there, it can be applied to any space. It can be applied to a classroom. It can be applied to a windowsill. So the idea is really to go through that process and ask yourself, what does sanctuary mean to me? And what plants can I benefit from? That's another one of the exercises in the book. There's so many plants that can aid us in our healing and our well-being. And for one person, it might mean that they look for plants that help them sleep through the night. or for someone else, it might be plants that help with anxiety. And then looking at those plants and figuring out, can I fit them into my space? Because a lot of the plants that grow outside can grow inside too. There's a little more challenge just in the environment being drier typically, but some plants thrive in that. So
let me go and talk about some specific things. So you talk about plant-based medicine here, and you mentioned decreasing anxiety and increasing sleep. What are the plants that help us do that?
Okay, so those are two of my favorite topics because I I definitely have suffered through both ailments quite a bit. Getting sleep at night, like one of the easiest plants that I encourage people to get to know, and some people might already have relationship with because of popular teas that are out there, is chamomile, really beautiful little white flower. That plant is really calming and is good for both anxiety and going to sleep. For anxiety, one of my favorite plants is called lemon balm. It's a really common, sometimes weed in people's garden. And it's funny because a lot of times the weeds are the plants that can help us the most. And if you have lemon balm or if you have ever had experience, you know that it can be very prolific. And if you are using it all the time, it won't spread as much. But making a simple tea with the plants and utilizing their the constituents found in the plant's oils is really the medicine that we're after. And in every category of ailment, whether it's mental or physical ailments, there's plants that can help us. And this book is meant to be a guide to help figure that out. So sleeplessness and anxiety are only two of the ailments that I cover, but I really wanted to focus on mental health and making sure that people knew that they could help have allies in plants to get through modern day struggles that we are faced with every day.
Now, you don't mention in our quick discussion, you haven't mentioned lavender. Where's that fit in?
Oh, lavender is like an all-purpose plant. It definitely helps with anxiety, definitely helps with sleep. It's relaxing. So this isn't an interesting plant. It helps people relax and calm the nervous system, but it's always uplifting to your spirit as well. So it's one of my favorite plants to introduce to children and talk about our emotions and plants that can help us. Because anyone, well, I'm saying this with the caveat that some people might not like lavender, but most people I come across love lavender for all the benefits. And it's one of those plants that I even carry with me some oil when I fly. So if there's turbulence on the airplane, my anxiety can shoot up. But all I have to do is smell lavender, and I'm instantly calmed. I also like to take baths with lavender, lavender oil. We can use the plants just straight in like a giant tea bag to put in our bathtub. And we can gain a lot of the benefits from the plants that way because our skin absorbs so quickly and in such a large surface area, the plant medicine.
So we are talking with Jessie, J-E-S-S-I, Bloom, B-L-O-O-M. JessieBloom.com is the website. She's the author of Creating Sanctuary, Sacred Garden Spaces, Plant-Based Medicine, and Daily Practices to Achieve Happiness and Well-Being. Jessie, one of the things you also talk about is how to clean your home based on the plants or using plants to help you. Talk to us a little bit about that, would you?
Yeah. So our homes have so many toxins in them. With the cleaners that we use on our surfaces, windows, countertops, to the products that we're actually putting onto our bodies, so many of them are full of toxins. And what I do in the book is I encourage everybody to look at the different products that they're buying and the ingredients in them, and then looking at alternatives to what we can be using in replacement. And there's a lot of plants that do a great job at cleaning, whether it's a surface or our skin or our hair. And one of the fun things that I really experimented with is different hair washes, because some of the plants that are really great at cleansing hair, again, are weeds. are plants that are usually readily available if we're growing them in our gardens because they grow so quickly. But one of my favorite is horsetail. And a lot of gardeners have a love-hate relationship with that, sometimes more hate than anything else because it grows so prolifically. But it can be used because it has so much silica in it. So great for our tissues and particularly our hair as a wash.
We've been talking with Jesse Bloom, author of Creating Sanctuary. So tell us how you would use this plant. In other words, do you milk it? Do you squeeze it? Do you homogenize it or blend it in some way? Or how do you get to use these plants specifically? Talk to us a little bit about that.
There's a few different things that we can extract the medicine from in any plant. And one of the simple ways to start is to experiment with making teas or infusions. So the idea is to have plant tissues and to, just like you make a cup of tea, like that little tea packet full of plant parts usually, and we pour boiling water and we let it seep for 10 minutes. That's one way to get started. With a hair rinse, for example, and using horsetail, I would do it on the stovetop, depending on how much I was going to make. And I would probably boil it for about 10 minutes. And then the constituents are leached out of the plant enough to where then I could take that water, let it cool down, and then use it as a wash. So that's the easiest method to get started with. I also, in the book, I talk about making tinctures, which is a little bit more of a concentrate that can be stored for a longer period of time. Salves, which are good for our skin and have a shelf life for about, I don't know, maybe up to a couple months, depending on how it's made and how it's stored. But we can make all kinds of different medicines with plants. It's just a matter of identifying which ones we're going to need first and build the relationship with the plant there, because you can take lavender flowers, for example, and infuse oil with the flowers. And then that oil can be used as a moisturizer. It can be used as an ingredient in other recipes. Or you can use the flowers and make tea. You can use the flowers in a recipe to eat cookies, for example. So plant medicine is a big topic. And this book is meant to be an entry point for people who are just curious and wanting to get started in herbalism or utilizing the plants that they have available to them.
Now, one of the people who, when we tweeted out that you were going to be on we were doing a podcast with you, one of the people asked, are there plants that can stop forest fires? That is, can plants, rather than feeding the fire with the shrub, are there plants that stop this? And they said, I heard that in the Napa fire last year, it was actually the vines were able to stop or were not burned because they had some form of stopping the fire. How do they do that? And what plants do you plant around you to make sure you don't have fires?
Well, fire design is a big topic. And one of the best things that we can do is create distance from plants that create a lot of dry biomass. So looking at a landscape, I know this is a big topic in California right now where there's a lot of wildfires. The debris that's left on the ground is often like tinder and so or kindling. And that's what we have to look at. And there's oils that plants contain that can help burn faster in fires. But I'm not sure exactly which plants would suppress fire other than plants that contained a lot of moisture content in their tissues. And what comes to mind is succulents, although not 100% accurate on that. The firescaping design that I'm more versed in is the layout of distance between shrubbery and structure, for example. But the conditions are also dependent on weather. So what's going on in the climate in that region and how moist the soil and the plants are.
I want to thank you very much for coming on. We're talking with Jesse Bloom, the author of Creating Sanctuary, Sacred Garden Spaces, Plant-Based Medicine, and Daily Practices to Achieve Happiness and Well-Being. It's a sensational book on this area, available on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, any place you want to get it. And Jesse's website is jessebloom.com, J-E-S-S-I-B-L-O-O-M. Bloom is in flowers are blooming. It's a good way of remembering it. So thanks very much. This is 925B. So the B is always the guest segment. Thanks, Jesse, for coming on. And thank you for downloading us and listening. And Ben for great engineering. We'll be back next week with another A segment, the news of the week, and what it means to you. And a B, great guests that stimulate you. Creating Sanctuary is one that has stimulated me. Thanks a lot again, Jesse, for coming. And thank you for downloading.